Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
And I'm Tom Scholey.
Special guest in the house today to look at Michael Golden's Star Wars. Before we do, though, Tom, where should people find your work?
You can find Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics at comics and book retailers. It's the life story of Jack Kirby told in the comic book form. You can find me on Twitter at Tom Scholey. You can check out my YouTube show, Total Recall.
Ed, what about Red Room?
Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe. As of June 30th, two issues are out and in paper editions. Going to be coming out every 4 weeks. You can order and pre-order these comics from your local comic shop. You can do that also through Fantagraphics' website. If you want to read the comics ahead of time, you can hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/Ed Piskor. $3 gets you the archive there. Have well over 100 pages of comics up there as we speak, and you can get to all of these links by way of my link tree in the description below this video.
You can join me on patreon.com/JimRugg, where you can download my out-of-print zines and mini-comics, like this wrestling zine, a collection of my wrestling drawings, ballpoint pen drawings, hard-to-find comics. You can also see a lot of my original art, including the original art process and sketches for the Red Room Cover 3 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles variant. So you can find all that and a lot more, patreon.com/JimRugg. But we are here today to talk Michael Golden. Seems like he's becoming a golden boy on this channel. We've looked at several of his comics recently, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon. But I had this in my collection. I think it's the only issue of Star Wars that he draws, and it seemed like a perfect thing to bust out with special guest Tom Scioli in the house. First thing I got to point out, look at that signature.
Love the signature, yeah.
On the cover.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like I understand that one more than his other one. Like, I really need him to show me where all the characters are in that weird shape that he draws in the future.
I agree, man. That's a fantastic, quite a deluxe there. One of the harder letters to write, and that one looks pretty good.
Good branding.
I think this may have been a fill-in issue, because they were planning to do Empire Strikes Back, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, the first issue of the Empire Strikes Back adaptation was supposed to happen in this issue.
And it's pushed back to issue 39, so...
Makes me think they had that, like, this story in the hopper, waiting, you know.
And the reason I think that is, I don't think you get this in a rush job.
No, sir.
Right.
So Michael Golden doing plotting, penciling... And color. He colors a lot of these, like, one-offs and, mm-hmm. and I guess, fill-in issues or inventory stories. But part of my attraction to this work is seeing his coloring. It really feels like a different perspective than what a typical comic of the time looks.
Yeah, it's a holistic approach, for sure. Noteworthy, too, that Archie Goodwin's the writer. Something about his career, like, if I, you know, like, you play that game, like, if you could have dinner with or interview somebody that, you know, you just... don't have access to, like he might be at the top of my list, man. There's a lot of qualities he has that I'm curious about him as a man. Like, he's a wonder kid at Warren and touched so much of comics that you know, I want to know everything.
Left us too young, but everybody, I've never heard a bad word about him.
No,
and like you say, man, all the way back to Warren, like, quite a career. So, yeah, definitely be curious to pick his brain, for sure. Should add, before we turn the page, Terry Austin on inks. So one of the guys that becomes, like, I don't know, hottest inker in Marvel Comics in the 80s, paired up with Michael Golden, that's a pretty good pairing.
Stacking the deck here. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Like, Terry Austin, known for his, like, very, very tight pen works, very meticulous, and meticulous is an adjective that comes to mind when I think of Michael Golden.
And you see it, you know, with all of these different ships and models, and just, like, the detail of hatching on wings and on, you know, all the little faux tech that you would see in the models mm-hmm. in the behind the scenes of Lucasfilms. Really putting that attention to detail to good use here.
Yeah, like, I've read a lot of Star Wars comics, and you get a lot of, like, generic shots of, like, the ships. This is, like, you know, a unique angle, a unique approach. The design of it is different. Like, it's recognizable as what it is and very technical, but it's there's so many creative liberties taken that you know, make it look like it's in motion.
Yeah, even the little very subtle, like, break the panel border, just barely, mm-hmm. but it's just enough to add one more level of depth to this. Again, one of the great things I think of visually with Star Wars are those huge ships in space and how big they felt. That depth, being able to try to do something to create that in comics, I love seeing it. And feels like a creative artist, you know.
Prior to this, you know, Michael Golden's getting all this practice doing something that's like 1 degree away from Star Wars, Micronauts.
Yes.
the story ain't about much, man. Like,
they
in the midst of the Empire, they hit their little light speed gimmick, but they accidentally overshoot. They go faster than light speed after they get shot. They end up in this, this weird HAL 9000 place.
Yeah, out. They're just black ink.
There are no stars.
Look at that cockpit, how well that's all drawn.
Amazing.
Really cool lighting. His figure work always is astonishing because there is stuff that, like, is, like, quote-unquote, like, wrong about it. You know, there's a wonkiness. There's, like, a fanzine quality. But there's so much more to it that just sort of, like, adds to the mystique.
I love the sparks coming off of things. The way he's drawing these sparks. Like, you know what he's depicting because you've seen these movies where things are... But that looks like it. And it looks like it's moving. It doesn't look like a static still or something.
He's invented it. So, like, Art Adams is going to sort of do his own version and like have his sparks. And then you see those kinds of sparks in all the Image comics.
Yes. And if you didn't, I would never come up with that on my own.
Right.
If I didn't know that was the comic shorthand of sparks, I probably have too, fumbled around and done terrible looking sparks. Love the coloring though. You know, you see as things are going wrong, they're red, really popping as they're something's wrong with their ship. And they realize, like, they're kind of stranded out in the middle of nowhere whenever they start to see this one thing coming along, and it's this, I don't know, biomechanical life form.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, Michael Golden's, like, creating, like, adding something to the mythos. This is obviously, like, a design that he came up with. And again, looks akin to the sort of things you'd see in Micronauts.
Yeah, do you know if he invented this ship? This is like a shipping container kind of ship. They're smuggling medical supplies to the Resistance.
Yeah, I don't know. I would guess that he did. I don't recognize it as like a Star Wars ship, and it does look a lot like some of the ships in Micronauts, like the ship that the Micronauts, like their main ship that they fly around on, looks
it,
a lot like.
It would be stuff like this that's like very weird, you know? And then you could see the evolution of, like, you know, McFarlane's and stuff like that.
Yeah,
pulling from
there was
that.
Yeah, there was one earlier of that, and I was almost thinking, like, manga eyes or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably not coming from manga, but it's definitely, like, a cartoon eyeball or something, and maybe from Micronauts.
He tightens it up in the Nom. Like, he figures all... this is all woodshedding, and then, like, when he gets to the Nom, like, he has that all figured out.
That's an awesome page. You know, like, this whole page, and then having an open panel of them coming out of their ship, really cool looking.
This stuff probably looked really weird in 1980, but looks very contemporary, and it's aged well, and yeah, like, it is that influence, and I wouldn't doubt that manga was an influence, or maybe at least anime, but manga too, because, like, these guys, like, Frank Miller and those guys, they would have access to this stuff, like, untranslated editions that would just kind of show up.
Yeah, and I would hear about that through, like, continuity, which Golden obviously is connected to Continuity Studios, so if that stuff is floating around, I guess he would see it. But the cartoon stuff, I think, has a big influence as well. I mean, you know, when's Bucky O'Hare happening? You know, so he's. I feel like his mind is in that direction, but again, you see it, those big eyeballs, like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he's just like an early adopter, and
That James O'Barr said so. Like we were looking at some of his work and pointing out potentially like golden strokes, and we mentioned manga Masamune Shirow specifically, and James hit me up and was like, Michael Golden and I were both huge into untranslated Appleseeds and stuff.
That makes so much sense. I love this page layout. It's that six-panel grid of like the vertical panels, but then he uses that centerpiece of the page to do that open panel with the cool dramatic lettering. Really nice.
I'd say he's maybe like 8 to 10 years ahead of the curve because it was like the rest of the industry started catching up. And also, Marvel was something of a closed shop at this period. So you had all these old guys who just kind of didn't give a shit what anybody else was doing. But then when you start getting like younger guys coming in, like, you know, like the McFarlanes and the Liefelds, and, you know, like then they're like, oh yeah, Michael Golden's the guy.
It's interesting to me to think of this as a 1980 publication because I link Michael Golden and Art Adams closely together. And it's like, Art Adams
first.
Is years after this, you know, clearly pulling influence from a Michael Golden.
An unbelievably influential creator. Michael Golden.
Yeah, I think underrated in maybe his influence in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, but once you point it out, it's impossible not to see.
Really great page layouts, though. Like, look at this is another 8-panel grid that starts halfway through this page for this whole fight scene.
I don't know that, you know, like a franchise that revolves around sword fights, I don't know that there's a better sword fight in a Star Wars comic than what we're seeing here.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
It works well, any of these fight scenes, whenever you do go into, like, the choreography of repeating the panel sizes, and it's all, like, just panel content.
Good lightsabers, man. Like, you have to be in control of the color to communicate these kinds of pieces.
Good lightsabers and good material. If you follow, like, Luke's, you know, the sleeves as they're whipping around.
Yeah.
Man, that's something I struggle with. Hair and sleeves. Any kind of, like, the physics of that. Mm-hmm. Especially with impacts involved and switching directions.
Well, because when you get that shit right, it really sings, man.
It totally does. It sells all the physics. But if you can't get it right, if you can't crack it, that's the thing I end up drawing 20 times and none of them look right.
Talking about physics, man, you feel like she's getting sucked out of like some explosive decompression chamber or something.
It's impressive drawing because it'd be hard enough to have your perspective wrapping around these rounded corridors, but now draw the effect of having that sucked out of the hole that's punched in the vacuum and bodies flying along through that perspective.
The idea of having this curved corridor might even be like a creative solution to showing, because if it were straight lines, it maybe wouldn't sell the motion as much.
I think you're right on that 100%.
He's very thoughtful in his illustration.
That's what it feels like. Page after page of this comic feels that way.
And all his comics work that way. There's like just a lot of thinking behind, like when you're learning to draw, and certainly learning to draw in ink, like they tell you, like, don't think about the lines, think about the texture of, like, you know, this this wooden fence. You know, you're drawing a wooden fence. You're not drawing swirly lines on other straight lines. Like, he takes it a step beyond, I feel like.
So how much does this page look like an underground comic? And then also, they're walking into this room and it's playing on this curved screen. So it's just a blow up of this piece, just blown up a little bit here. So weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about that with his early work. Like, it has like very accomplished like fanzine flavor. And I say that only because there were house styles. And he didn't abide by the house style. He was way more organic than, you know, the journeymen who filled the Marvel and DC pages.
We were talking about influences earlier. I can't get Mobius out of my head.
Yeah.
That one Mobius, I can't remember if it's Arzak or not, but where the character's just falling, you know, like dropping through that organic.
It's a motif. It's like an ankle. It's an airtight garage.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, you look at these pages and they feel like they're outside of the typical Marvel house style norm, and it makes me think he's looking at everything.
Yeah, but he roots it and ties it into like Marvel and stuff. It's not so far removed.
Yeah, like this reads like Star Wars. He's, you know, fitting it within like the framework.
There's some really phenomenal moments, you know, visually, like like that as a control deck, I think really works well.
Yeah, again, the color.
This kind of thing is in control of the color.
That is good. I always think about panel borders because I've been going through a lot of different panel borders but have not used this particular one. So now it's on the list.
Yeah, man, especially if there's some kind of like quaking scenario in your comic. What are you working on again?
The previous panel, too, it's worth noting, no panel border. Mm-hmm. A lot of negative space, you know, that outer space creates what appears to be the border, but whenever you actually look at it, it's not there. This is amazing, too. I think that's like the ship pilot, that organic ship pilot, but all that gear.
Yeah, yeah, and he's great at that. And you do see it in the Nom, all the little straps and, you know.
Feels very EC Comics, feels a little bit like Aliens and some of those designs.
Now, look, I mean, the color here is just incredible.
Phenomenal.
But look at these guys, like that helmet and stuff. We've seen it in like a million Star Wars movies. And then he drew versions of that helmet in Micronauts. There's like a bunch of characters who have that same helmet. So he's got 10,000 hours of drawing that kind of like Star Wars helmet. And look at it.
It's got the lights from the control panel.
Yeah, both of these. You can even see the control panels in this panel reflecting on his helmet.
Speaks to the thoughtfulness again, man.
It's really badass. Really sells the shine of that helmet. And back to your outer space battles.
You feel the physics of the blast. Like, it really feels like it's coming at you. And then there's layers of depth with, like, various parts of the explosion.
Double lighting Dutch these angles. Little figures. Mm-hmm. Great attention to detail. Wonder if he was, like, super into Star Wars, and when he gets to do an issue, he just goes all out.
I can't imagine back then not. Because what else are you grooving to if it's not, like, Star Wars when that comes out?
Also, might have been, you know, young artist that just had a bunch of ideas on how to do this, and every chance he gets, he's showing off.
Yeah, the youth is a factor, for sure.
Yeah, cool comic. Love seeing his color. You know, you see it on display of how much green is throughout this comic, and then whenever we switch, you get the magentas playing against it as you know, classic opposite complementary color kind of stuff. But not something you see in every comic book of this time period, or even today. And Archie Goodwin trying to explain to everybody, Empire's coming.
Yeah, sorry we had to give you this instead of the first Empire Strikes Back issue.
Even Jim Shooter gets in on it, so Star Wars still a big deal at this point in Marvel's publishing portfolio.
I think we're going to have a Michael Golden playlist.
Could be, man, because I've got a couple more Michael Golden comics I want to look at, want to revisit.
In the meantime, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Patreon.com/JimRug is where you can download my out-of-print zines and mini-comics. You can see a lot of my original art, including the original, the process, the sketches for the Red Room variant cover 3 featuring the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So patreon.com/JimRug.
Tom.
Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics is my graphic biography of Jack Kirby. Follow me on Twitter at Tom Scholey. Check out my Patreon. Search Tom Scholey at patreon.com. And check out the Total Recall show.
Would it be a graphic biography of sequential art?
Yeah, it's a very graphic. There's a lot of sex scenes and stuff. It's a very graphic biography.
Red Room Comics are out in the wild. Murder on the Dark Web for fun and profit. As of June 30th, 2 issues have hit paper editions with new issues coming soon every 4 weeks or so. You can read the comics ahead of time on my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the archive there. I have well over 100 pages of comics. I'm into the 5th story on the Patreon. You could get to links in my link tree in the description below for the Patreon and also to order and pre-order the Red Room comics.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give them one last set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.